turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are, after an entire summer, getting to the end of the series that I have been preaching on entitled Teach Us to Pray, which is on the Lord's Prayer, and we have come finally to the final petition that Jesus invites us to make. But I would ask that you would join me in saying the Lord's Prayer as the first part of our text for our sermon today. Would you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Then this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Paul says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." My title for my sermon today corresponds with the petition that Jesus invites us to bring before the Father in the Lord's Prayer: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Some people actually, as I have been studying for this sermon, there are quite a few different ways of looking at this and understanding what Jesus is saying here. Some people actually see it as two separate petitions: "Lead us not into temptation" as one, and the other, "deliver us from evil." But I actually think it's better understood as two statements that essentially say the same thing. One says it in kind of the negative, "lead us not," and the other says it in the positive, "deliver us, rescue us." And the request itself speaks to an issue that is of great importance for us as Christians, and one that I believe we ought to take very, very seriously. When you think about it, there are three petitions that Jesus invites us to make of the Father in the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Jesus chose those three, I think, for a reason, because they're important. They are essential and foundational to our walk as disciples of Jesus Christ. And therefore, like the others, this is one that we ought to take seriously. John Owen, who was a 17th century Puritan theologian, and also, interestingly, for a time anyways, a chaplain and advisor to Oliver Cromwell, wrote a book called Overcoming Sin and Temptation. Really, really good treatment of that subject. And for those of you that are interested, there actually is an updated language version that came out a couple years ago from Crossway Books, and I would encourage you to pick it up and read it sometimes. I don't always, often, in fact, I rarely recommend books from the pulpit, but this is one I would recommend. John Owen is hard to understand when you read him in the classical language, so that's why I'm telling you there's an updated language edition that you can read. But John Owen defines temptation this way, and I've updated the language, just so you know. Temptation is anything that leads us to do evil. Anything that has the power and the ability to seduce us, to draw the mind and heart of a man from its obedience to God and into sin. Temptation seduces our hearts and minds away from obedience to God and into sin. That's what its goal is. That's what it does. And that definition, I think, helps us to understand why this request is so important, because it focuses in on the importance of our obedience to God and our obedience to the commands that God has given us. God's commands are a gift to us. Not sure we always think of them in that way. Sometimes we think of His commands as those things that hinder us and make life hard. But in fact, they are a gift. They are an expression of His grace and His goodness, because they teach us how to live and how to function in this world without doing injury to ourselves and to others. His commands teach us to live well. Psalm 1 expresses this. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who delights in the Lord's instruction and meditates day and night on His law. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. Those who do not obey God's commands are not so. They are like chaff that the wind blows away." God's commands teach us how to live as God designed us to live. And when we follow His commands, we enjoy the fullness of life as God intended it to be lived. Of course, that doesn't mean that we never have difficulties or we never have trials. What it does mean is that even in the difficulties, and even in the trials, we can have an abundant life that nothing can take away from us. Like a tree planted by a stream. Whether the wind is blowing or not, the stream is still there. And we can draw life from that stream. But as the psalm says, those who don't obey dry up and wither away. I was thinking about that as Angela was sharing her testimony, and there's a passage in Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 18, that says something similar to Psalm 1. And the contrast is between a tree that is planted by the streams of water and a bush that's trying to grow in the desert in a salt waste. And the tree planted by the stream is those who trust in the Lord. And the bush in the salt waste is those who trust in their own flesh. And Angela's testimony reflected that, didn't it? She was trying to live in the power of her own flesh and found herself in a salt waste. And yet the tree planted, those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by a stream of water. So, in the same way, Moses, when he was talking to the people of Israel, drew a similar contrast as he was preparing them to go into the Promised Land. He said, "Today I set before you life and death, obedience and disobedience. Choose life. Choose obedience, because obedience is the way to life." So this request that Jesus gives us to ask of the Father is of vital importance, because it addresses these issues of obedience and disobedience, of life and death. Now, you probably know that we're not talking here about salvation, about having the grace of God through the work of Christ. Obedience and disobedience, we don't have to obey to have God's favor and to know God and to have life in Christ, right? That is the work of Christ that he does. But obedience gives us the fullness and the richness of the life that God made us for. And why would we want to have life in Christ and not obedience? So there's a distinction there, but they go together. You understand that, right? Okay. I don't want you going away saying, Pastor John was preaching heresy today. This command that Jesus gives us, this invitation to come to the Father and pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, is also realistic about the reality in which we live. Because the fact is that temptation is all around us, right? We cannot escape it, and it comes at us from all kinds of different directions. Satan is our adversary, and he wants to see us wither and die. He is actively working, doing everything that he can to set traps in our way and to seduce us away from the abundant life that God wants to give us. And so we should expect that at every turn we will be confronted with invitations to sin. You can't drive down the road. You can't turn on the TV. You can't go to the grocery store. You cannot really do just about anything without the invitation to disobedience being right there. Someone once said the problem with sin is that it's so much fun. And that is what the world would have us believe. Sin gets its power by persuading us that we would be happier and better. Life would be better if we followed it. So the power of temptation is the prospect that it will make us happier, that it will make our lives better. That's why it's so powerful. And the world is always there saying, go this way, go that way, do this, do that. Life will be better. But in the end, sin leads to dishonesty and fear and regret and shame. What we think will make life better ultimately becomes a prison. And probably some of us have experienced that at different times in our lives. So not only are we surrounded by enticements away from God, but we also don't have the strength within ourselves to resist the temptations that press in around us. Again, from John Owen, he says, even the best saints, left to themselves, will appear to be less than men, to be nothing. All our strength is weakness, and all our wisdom is folly. Kind of similar to what Paul says, I think, in Romans chapter 7. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is good, but not the ability to carry it out. I don't do the good that I want to do. Instead, the evil that I don't want to do is what I keep on doing. I was thinking about Peter on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Remember what he promised Jesus? He said, Jesus, even if everyone else deserts you, I won't do it. I'll be there. And within a matter of hours, as Jesus was pouring out his heart before God, wrestling with what was coming that very night and in the day that would follow, in that time when Jesus needed Peter as a friend more than any other time, Peter's asleep. In just a couple hours after he makes this promise, and by the time the night is over, he had denied Jesus three times, denied he even knew him. And we ask, how could Peter make such a lofty promise And how could he do it with so much conviction and resolve and then so quickly abandon it? Except that we've done it too. Unable to follow through on the promises that we make to God, even when we make them with conviction and resolve. We don't have it in us. And so, Paul's warning that we read in that passage in 1 Corinthians is a poignant warning. He who thinks he stands should take heed lest he fall. All of that, I think, serves as the background to this request in the Lord's Prayer. We're surrounded by temptations which lure us away from the abundant life that can only be had by obedience to God. And we don't have the strength within ourselves to resist the temptations that are around us. So Jesus taught his disciples to call on God for help in the midst of temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. At first, that petition might seem contradictory. It might cause us to wonder, what is Jesus really saying there? Because it gives the impression that God perhaps tempts us, that he leads us into temptation and causes us to be tempted, and we're asking God, don't do that to us. But James is emphatic that that is not, in fact, the case. James says, don't say when you're being tempted that God is tempting you. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God is not in the business of trying to trip us up or entice us to do evil. Isn't that good to know? That would be completely contrary to God's character. So this request is not asking God not to tempt us, but to give us the strength not to be overcome by the temptations that we face. To deliver us, to rescue us from giving in to the evil that seeks to entice us away from him. In Psalm 141, the psalmist, I think, says that really well. He says to God, do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. I think that is what Jesus is inviting us to ask. And in Psalm 142, actually, the psalmist says it a little bit differently, but it helps us to kind of visualize the challenge that we face. The psalmist says, in the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. When my spirit faints within me, in other words, when I'm ready to succumb, you know the way. You can guide me forward past the traps that have been laid for me by the evil one that wants to steal away my life. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are calling out to God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Help me. Rescue me. Prevent me from giving in to the enticements that are all around me that seek to seduce me and draw my heart and mind away from obedience. And that's why I read that passage with us this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, because there Paul gives us God's answer to the request that Jesus invites us to make. And he gives us assurance as we struggle with temptation. Listen to what Paul says again. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may endure it." What a promise that is. He will provide the resources. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to stand. And I, for one, need to know that. Because the deceiver wants me to believe that I can't stand up under temptation. That it's no use putting up a fight and that I might as well succumb and let the evil one have his way again. But what God assures us is that his provision is always enough to meet the battle. We can overcome in his strength. We can endure through it. Because the strength of the evil one is always inferior to the resources available to us as God's people. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. In my own life, I find that to be a significant part of the battle. To stop believing the lie that I'm too weak to resist. And the thing of it is that there is a half-truth in that lie, which is often what Satan does, right? He starts with the truth and twists it around until it's a lie. And the half-truth in that lie is that we are too weak. And that is why Jesus invites us to call out to God for help. "Lord, the enemy has laid a trap for me, and my spirit faints within me, but you know the way. Don't let me be overcome. Don't let my heart be seduced away. Don't let my heart be drawn into evil. Deliver me. Rescue me from the evil one." And his promise is that he will. Amen. He will provide a way of escape. We need not surrender. And not only that, not only does Scripture promise that we can survive under the pressure of temptation, that we can make it through, Scripture promises us even more than that. It promises us that the very schemes that Satan uses to entice us and trap us, God will ultimately use for our good. So he can take what Satan means to destroy and harm us, and he can turn it around and use it to actually make us stronger. Listen to what James says. And some of you ought to still know this because we memorized it in Sunday school a few years ago. Remember that? "Consider it pure joy when you face trials." It's the same word. Trials and temptations are the same word in the Greek. "Consider it joy when you face trials or temptations of many kinds, because you can be confident." I know I'm going off text here, so if you remember it and you're reciting it in your head, I know I'm messing you up. I'm sorry. "But you can be confident that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance will finish its work so that you are strong and complete, not lacking anything." So as we do battle with temptation, and as we cry out to God for help, and we find Him to be faithful, we find Him to be a strength that is within us, that it is greater than the strength that is in the world, as we overcome temptation by the power that God makes available to us through the Spirit, we are actually made stronger by the experience. When we resist the evil one, and draw on God's provision to stand against those things that would seduce our hearts away from Him, we are drawn deeper into Him. I wonder sometimes, how frustrated must the devil get? He's doing everything he can to destroy us and undermine us, and yet if we keep our eyes on Him and depend on Him, everything that he does to destroy us actually makes us stronger. Satan tempts us, scheming to destroy us. God turns temptation into spiritual exercise to make us stronger. I don't want to end this sermon without saying a word about grace. We need to take this fight against temptation seriously. As Moses said to Israel, obedience is your life. Disobedience is the way to dryness, to wither on the vine. It's the way of death. We need to take this struggle seriously, and Jesus puts that request there for us for that reason. But we will fail. We will struggle. We will not always overcome. We will not always draw on the power that God gives us by His Spirit. The resources are there, but we fight the battle sometimes in the flesh. We're learning to live in the power of the Spirit. And sometimes we fail to do that and we succumb. But what grace says is that our failure cannot separate us from God's love. His forgiveness and His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. As we struggle in this battle, overcoming by the power of the Spirit, and at times succumbing, grace is always there, never giving up on us, always calling us home, and saying the invitation to come home is always there. And you will find your Father with open arms, longing to receive you with love and grace. There's a song that, I don't know, it came out kind of in the 90s. I'm not very good with that kind of time frame, but I think it was Steve Camp that sang it. And the refrain of the song was, "The saints are just sinners who fall down and get up." That is us. We still sin. We still succumb. We fall down. And yet by His strength and the power of the Spirit, we get up again and we go forward. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray. Father, help us. We are surrounded by temptation. The evil one sets traps for us, to lure us away, to lure our hearts away. And Father, we find that not only does He set the trap of what is clearly evil, but He also sets the trap of what is a lesser good than You. Father, whatever it is that the individuals in this room are struggling with, whatever temptations they face, You know the temptations I face. Father, may we keep our eyes on you. You have given us what we need to overcome. Help us to trust and to call out to you for help. Give us victory, we pray. And thank you, Father, that when we fall down, your grace is always there to pick us up. And so we trust that the day will come when temptation will be no more, but we will live in the fullness of the abundant life of obedience. Father, teach us to long for that day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.